species wildlife with my mom. I mean, I'm German. Okay, no. This is wildlife with my mom.
Okay, so why we don't need to maintain external structures anymore? It's because we have these awakening experiences where we realize that we are the external reality and that there is no separation. So all of these structures that we maintain in the external world comes from the confusion that we think it's separate. We think something separate from ourselves. So for example, in the trans surfing book, they call it inner intention versus outer intention. So inner intention is what we do, and the outer intention is just what comes to us through the external reality. So when we come in to these mindset or understanding of reality, then it doesn't really make sense to maintain things, because you can just like sink into your true intention and allow everything to come through the external reality, and to then try to fix it or control it would just distort it. So when we first step into this, or if, when we surrender to the universe, the things that are not in alignment with our true self will start crumbling, collapsing. And then you look at what you want to do. You want to fix it. You want to keep it alive. But when we allow it to collapse, then that the true signal starts coming through from the external reality. And we can just sort of relax into knowing that the external reality is giving us exactly everything we need.
So, very welcome, Sam. I don't know if it's the second or third podcast episode with you. I forgot.
Yeah, actually, the first one I did in my other name, Sama Kataro. Oh. But so this is the third in total, yes.
Nice. That's a lot.
Yeah.
So, nice. I don't really know how to describe you, because you do a lot of different things, from music to coaching, to you do fancy awesome stuff. What I want to mention, by the way, is the last couple of months, me and my son, we did this multi-dimensional Bitcoiner coaching with you. That was really cool, like beyond cool, really nice. Because normally I'm not like good with regular meetings and these kind of things, because my life is changing always. And this we pulled through while I was traveling. I'm so proud of myself. And I learned tons. My son enjoyed it lots. So I love that approach to life, because I always felt as a kid, and still sometimes now, like I'm a weirdo, because life is not what we see, but there's so much more to life. And with you, I feel like I can talk about these things very openly. And that makes me feel like, okay, I'm not a weirdo. Even if then you are a weirdo too, which is nice. But I think you are someone who brings all these different levels that are part of life into life. You know what I mean? Doesn't make sense what I said. But you reintegrate these aspects. I really like that. So I don't know if you want to introduce yourself briefly. If I did it correctly.
I can just comment on what you were saying there. And embodiment has been the big theme for me the last few years, to make it really, to like really live like a new age person. Because before, I had the ability to channel and to access higher consciousness, but my physical body was still like a normal person. And then to take the next step and sort of surrender that normal person and just become the soul in this body. So then everything becomes fluid and so that Bitcoiner, multidimensional Bitcoiner course, it was like, okay, we're doing this course, but we couldn't have fixed times because it was not multidimensional. So we needed to really feel into when we were supposed to have the different sessions, individual sessions, group sessions, and to really tune into that song of the universe. It was no other way. I couldn't be more structured than that, because then it would break the flow. So it was a really nice experience, yes.
True. What I really like about you is that you think that the flow is really, really important. And I remember that I tried to explain to my parents, I was already grown up and had a child, that because they are always like, when are you coming back to Germany to visit us? And these kind of like really planned things. And I was always like, I need to go with the flow. I don't know when I will be there. I'm going to book a flight maybe 2 weeks prior to actually doing it. But I'm not someone who can decide now what to do in the next 6 months. That's just crazy, ridiculous for me. And I know that you are really into keeping the flow in your life. And I know this is quite advanced, let's say it like that. It's advanced lifestyle, because it's hard, because the world around us doesn't work like this normally. And we have to somehow manage to keep our flow while maintaining all these outside structures that are part of our life as well. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, in the beginning we maintain them, but after a while we just let them collapse completely because they are low frequency structures that we don't need anymore. We needed them maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago. But now, because so many people are living in the new consciousness, it's really not necessary to keep them going anymore. But this with the flow is that it doesn't go where we want it to go. It is a flow, and we need to surrender to that flow. And to do that seems maybe easy as an idea, but when we actually do it, it continues to bring us into pain, which is the opposite of what everybody in the Matrix is. The Matrix is like a whole structure based around avoiding pain in different ways. So when we step out of that, we have to face and feel the pain. And then the flow is like going like pain and then joy and then pain and then inspiration and then pain. And to get used to that, because we are so used to avoiding pain. But when we accept that, and we accept like, okay, this is nature, this is evolution, this is how it goes. And then we just ride the ups and downs wherever it takes us.
Nice. Yeah, I think feeling the pain. Sometimes I also enjoy that phase when you're, I call it the valley of shit, before you climb the next mountain, you know. You have to go through it. It's always different kind of shit. But it makes you stronger, it forms you in a certain way, and it gives you new perspectives. Because right now, after traveling for a little bit, I got stuck somewhere where I'm now. And this being stuck feeling, I always avoided it by telling myself, I want to be where I am, like geographically. That is not the truth anymore. So I'm back to this feeling stuck feeling. But now this time, I really enjoy it because I know if I feel it, I can change it, actually. And if I go through it, I can work with it. And that's beautiful. And I think pain, we are so, I don't know, yeah, connected to the idea that pain is always this negative big thing. And of course, it's often not so nice. But I think a lot of people don't see the value of pain, and it's immense. Where else do we learn so much but from pain?
Yeah, and it's a realignment, and it's moving us to the next level of consciousness. Otherwise, we just stay and repeat the same frequencies over and over again. So the pain is realignment. And so it's basically erasing your past, which is then transforming your future. So, yeah. It can sound negative, mm-hmm. but it's part of the journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't avoid it. You can, I mean, you can, but it's just for a matter of time. And then it's like borrowing happiness from the future if you try to avoid it. And it doesn't make sense. Because you got to give it back, and then it hurts because top of the amount, maybe.
Yeah, and I think also this natural abundance doesn't really work. When so this pain also connects you to the magnetism that makes things come towards you rather than chasing them.
Hmm. That's a nice thing. Yes, I really like that concept. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. I'm just feeling into the moment a little bit. Taking a breath here. Yeah, what's the next question then?
Now I forgot it. Maybe not so important.
Yeah. No, I got this inspiration, yeah?
Yes.
I got this inspiration that we will talk about the crystal body today.
True.
Because it's connected to children, because basically they sort of have it and then they get programmed out of it. And then we have people like you and me, we are stepping into it. So I think it's a good topic for these podcasts and this audience to partly to understand the children and how they are operating, actually, how they naturally should be operating. And also for us adults, what we are actually moving into, because we are all, even if we are resisting it, the universe snaps us back and forces us to transform into these crystal bodies, because the whole planet is just raising the frequencies. So that's where we're going, and that's where the children are. So how do you feel about this topic?
I love it, because I always said that my child is my best teacher, because he's whole. He's not broken yet. I hope he will never be. And how he operates is how we should operate. So I learned from him how to trust my gut feeling, how to, yeah, really deep dive into meditation again, all these things, how to play. I mean, all these things that make life valuable somehow, I learned from him. And then I remembered as a child, like when it was taken from me. And that made me realize, okay, if this is something you can take from someone, maybe this should have stayed with me. And just imagine there were more people being, yeah, more whole, less broken, less maybe distracted by what is going on around them and more focused on what's going on inside them. I don't know. You think we are stepping into that world where this is, yeah, the new normal, maybe? That would be huge, because right now it feels like, you know what I really like, that I really want to say. You are writing a book, completely different topic, but there was one sentence and that really got stuck with me until today, obviously, that we, even if it feels like everything's falling apart, it's the opposite. It's like being built back up, so to say. And I really like that, because I always felt like, even as a kid, I always had like a backpack packed in case something happens and I need to run away. The rest of my family didn't. I was the only one. And the sentence, like, it feels like it's crumbling, but the truth is quite the opposite. That is really nice, because how do we know? How can I trust the feeling if it feels like everything's falling apart? I really like that, and I think it's connected to your perspective that we are stepping into a future where more and more people are aware of their crystal bodies and what is connected to this.
Yes, so this falling apart or this collapsing feeling, it is basically our nature that was destroyed, so it collapsed. So it's collapsed fields. But these fields were us. So we collapsed them. And then to reopen them, it feels like they're collapsing. But we are just remembering the essence of those fields and integrating those fields into our everyday lives. So yes, this is what I see all around me. So people have different collapses, and then sometimes they ask me, like, what should I do? And they don't like my answer, because I just say, you need to let it collapse, because it's like you had like a fake structure, like a control structure in that field, and now it wants to harmonize and just be natural and in flow with the universe. So when you try to maintain it, you're just holding on to a dysfunctional structure. So if it's a relationship, or if it's a project, work, or whatever, they are just collapsing. If they are not supported by the universe, if they are not in harmony with the bigger picture, they are being collapsed. And then the choice is to keep maintaining it because of fear and control. But it's just to allow it all to collapse. And then we just land into the peace and the flow.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, yeah.
Maybe it will happen also in this interview. We will collapse.
Let's see who and why. I would like to see that. Yes, maybe about collapsing fields. There is like a huge range of things that can collapse. And maybe just for anybody who's not into that topic yet, just letting things collapse. I mean, that is nice, but I think it's easier to say than to really let it collapse, because normally I know people that really try to gather all the pieces back together and fix it and fix it and fix it instead of going forward. And I'm always wondering if the fear of the unknown that comes, like the unknown that comes afterwards, is bigger than the pain of holding on. And sometimes there's a point where this is turning around, that the fear of the unknown is smaller than the pain of holding on, maybe. I don't really know what my original question was, but maybe it's something related to when do we know if it's a collapsing field or if we should try harder because it's like a challenge that we should go through or something like that.
Yeah, as we switch to only inspiration or act on your highest excitement, things like this. So when we step out, then we notice when we do things out of fear and we get to know the taste of inspiration. So then we just remember that we should only do things when we are inspired to do them. Only do things that we love to do. So if it's something that is collapsing, then if you force yourself to do anything, then it's out of fear. But you just wake up and you want to maintain something, then you just feel happy to do it. And I think it's quite easy to notice the difference. If you're doing something from fear, like this, and or if you're just like, wow, I want to do this. It's like, so then you only do things from inspiration, and that's your compass. Everything
I was thinking about how many fears I would like to let collapse. There's a long list of things I would like to kick out of my life. And sometimes I'm wondering, because there's a small degree. For example, if I have a recording, I really need to say like 60% of the time, I don't feel like doing it. But 5 minutes in, I feel perfectly fine. And afterwards, I don't regret it. It's not like, oh my God, why did I do this to me? But then sometimes I feel like, why am I even doing this? I should maybe let it collapse and have some time of not doing this podcast at all to see if the inspiration lets me do it. But then I'm thinking, I try to record episodes only about what we do, like unschooling wise, while we travel. And it doesn't really change the approach, because I was initially thinking it's because I need to talk to another human being. That is so mean, but it wasn't that. So I don't really know. I have like a list of things I need to let collapse, and hopefully I will do that soon. So how many things do you want to let, like, do you want to see collapse? Maybe none, because you already live the flow life.
It's not much left to collapse. but it's like, it's more scary in the beginning. And then you build these communities with people in similar situations. And so we are like encouraging each other, reminding each other. And I think that's where we are now. It's all these star seeds, light workers, like we are all figuring out how to live in flow. So we are all sort of in the same situation. We are in this, like, we access higher consciousness and we can see the bigger picture and we know there is nothing to worry about. But then we drop down and we are detoxing some fear and we go back and forth, back and forth. So basically we have no clue at all what's going on, at the same time as we feel safe and guided and supported, and we get all this evidence and all the thing. So it's like we are all living in this void, and we are helping each other, and every interaction with other people, if we bring this up, you will find that everyone is in the same position. Like you say, oh, I have few fields, I probably would like to collapse. You know, everyone is doing this. So we are learning as a species together by just randomly meeting each other. So when we navigate through the heart instead of the mind, this is what we do in a crystal body. We don't categorize and analyze. Just feeling where we should go, who we should meet with. And then we only meet people that do the same. it's like that frequency, it's the heart frequency. So you have the other people with the mind, they are meeting other mind people, and then heart people are meeting heart people. And then we are all in the same situation, so we take turns being strong and being weak. Because it's like no competition, because most of us, all of us, we are empaths. So we meet someone and we feel their entire energy body, and they feel my energy body. That's just like a baseline. And then we know we have nothing to fear. We have this 2025 year here where it's still confusing, but we have no fear between each other. And then it's this mechanism of one energy body being really strong and the other one going into pain. Because you still need to go to pain. Even if you meet someone, you can't pretend to be happy all the time. So then you're not authentic, because they feel your energies and you feel them. So it's nothing to hide. So you automatically open up very quickly and easily, because you trust this person, because you feel their soul and their love. And then it's like, even if you met someone just 5 minutes ago, and then you say, how was your week? You know, then you say, am I going strong or am I going weak? If you're going strong, you will just say something really wise and nice and help them, because they sort of were freaking out. But if you go down, then they step up and they are like holding space for you, because they are used to it. They do it with all their friends. And then they are helping you to heal something that happened that week.
Yeah. That is really nice, because you know what? My best friend, when I met her, it was like instant, like the same level. I understood her without knowing her at all. And I had the feeling like she knows what I think. She can read my mind. And it was so scary. And I was sitting there and there were other people around, and I was like, okay, now I really need to think about what I'm thinking about. Can she like censor that I'm thinking about my thoughts as well? Censor them. Turns out I think she can. And the nice thing is now we live so far apart from each other, and we used to be close neighbors the last couple of months, and it's still working out. Like I still know when she can't sleep and all these things are in my head. And it's very, very interesting. And because normally I'm not like a people person, but with this person, she's so intelligent and you cannot hide anything from her. So that makes it so interesting, because I know that I do play games, like mind games, with other people who cannot sense these kind of things, to not let them in or to not overshare or just simply to not connect with them because I don't want to. But with some people, you cannot not connect. And that is beautiful, I think. And the other part of this is you cannot not connect to yourself and to the universe. Because, I don't know, maybe a week ago, someone asked me, how do you not crumble under all the pressure you have and all the shit that you have going on? And I never think about this, because I just go on, because I have to trust that. And also the same... yeah, person was like, it's so brave of you, what you're doing, just leaving Germany, leaving the next country, always on the hunt and these kind of things. But I don't think it's brave. It's the only option. You know what I mean? So I think people are really thinking about their next steps. I cannot do this. It is just, I trust that what I feel is the right thing, so I act upon this. And sometimes when I look back, it makes sense, of course. But in the moment, I just do what I feel like I need to do, even if it feels maybe even uncomfortable or weird in that situation. So I think this trust between humans and yourself and the universe, that's a really beautiful thing. But what I also see, that not everyone is that can see other people can see themselves. Because maybe I do have that a little bit, that I cannot see myself as well as I can see other people. It's some kind of disease. I don't know. Some kind of blindness, of course, maybe. I don't know.
Some blind spots, something we don't want to see, yeah. Yeah. It's all part of the journey. Yeah, but it's really like when I started meeting these kind of people that you can't hide anything from, I think everything changed for me. And this is just something that is just growing and growing with more people. And it's this unconditional love that is felt between. In the beginning, I could only do it with men because I had blocks and issues, mother issues. So, but now I can do it with women also. Yes. And it's... it's really nice.
It is. It is, to be honest. Really cool. Let's talk a little bit more about the crystal body thing, because I think for a lot of people, this is like a vague concept that is somewhere. Maybe because I know you are really good in finding easy words to describe really complex concepts.
Yeah. I've been writing this book and been trying to explain, or also helping myself to navigate all these bodily changes, because it's quite, it's not a walk in the park. It's really basically the embodiment process. It's really that you're allowing your old identity from this, like your childhood and stuff like this, to really just disappear and have no control over how your body moves. And this is a very big transformation, but that's where the crystal body comes in, because it's just based in flow. And we learn that how the body moves is like an echo of the soul-to-soul connection happening in the background. So like when you describe your best friend, you know, it's like two souls, like zzz, like this. And then you're just like doing something with the body, but you can really feel that this is like an energy frequency interaction, and the body language and the words are secondary. And this is also how people could relate to this podcast, because it's not the words, it's really and transmission and how your body is reacting to listening to this conversation here.
Do you hear that noise? I don't hope so.
Little squeak, something.
Yeah, someone is going crazy. If it's not too annoying, I will just let them be crazy.
I have some people going crazy.
I think it's the kid with the dogs.
Maybe wait, we can wait then. Because I think it influences you.
No, I think they are gone.
Mm.
Whatever they do, running around and squeaking, it's freaking. Yes, yeah,
But maybe let's take a little, because anyway, you will probably cut this out, right?
Maybe.
No, I have not about neighbor's dog. I thought we could just take a little breather and stabilize the field.
We can do that.
Hey, dear unschooling friend. I'm very proud to present you my first partner, The Bitcoin Way. This is my go-to team for sovereign lifestyle solutions, and you already know the team from several episodes we did together for this podcast. They will guide you through mastering Bitcoin self-custody, securing your data with top-notch cybersecurity, and exploring Plan B residency for ultimate independence. This is what Unschooling Lifestyle is all about. So if you want to learn more about these freedom barriers, check out the link in the podcast description.
I find it difficult to explain the crystal body. I thought I was ready, but now I find like so difficult.
Yeah, maybe you explain it to me like a five-year-old with dyslexia and ADHD.
Yeah.
I think it's easy in pictures.
Yeah, so when we enter a crystal body, and this is how children operate, I think, we don't identify with identities. So our identity is basically just a spark from the source. And the body is just a hologram. And so we don't base our self-image on what other people think. It's like we're in a docking station, like a robot. So your home is an extension of yourself. So your home becomes your docking station. And then, so you're like in your home, you're constantly in zero state and constantly in flow. And you actually, visualize and dream your connection with everyone else. So the external world is just different dreams that you step into, physical dreams. But you have already experienced them at home in your docking station. So in your docking station, you're like preparing yourself for these interactions. And you live them before they happen. And then you leave them after they have happened. So you're living in this timeless state where time is vibrational. Time is vibrational. So it's not linear. So this means that you can really, like, really relax into peace, because all these interactions that you will have with people, they will come at exactly the right time, spread out in linear time. And you don't know if it's weeks or months. But you know that if you have a good feeling about that interaction in your docking station, you know that it will be an amazing experience whenever it happens. And this is where the sovereignty and the decentralization comes in. So you don't have attachments to people. You don't need to meet anyone at a particular time. So everyone is just sovereign nodes around you. And you feel the connection with all these nodes. And then they start creating these scenarios, like time and places where to meet. It could be also online. And you stay with the feeling. So some of these interactions feel nasty. But that's the pain we talked about. So it's like, oh, I should meet this person. And then, I don't know about that, but you sit with it. And then it just, wow, I would actually, it would be amazing. And it will happen at the right time. So your home becomes this docking station where you're just in peace and trusting the universe completely. And then when you go out the door, you know that you're walking into wonderful situations. Not always easy, but they will just show you, teach you exactly what you need to experience, to remember even more of who you are.
That's nice. Does
that make sense for a five-year-old with ADHD?
I bet not, but close, I guess. I do have questions, because in your book, it's, of course, about crystal body and how to live in flow and so many details around that. And one chapter, my favorite chapter, of course, is about the school of the future, how kids can learn when they're in their natural state and when we support this. And pretty much this is unschooling, organized unschooling. So it's interest-based and it's very flowy. And from the feeling I had, it was just, how to say that, maybe just more open-minded regarding what to learn. And it wasn't narrowed down to like the 7 topics that we know from school nowadays, but it was like a broad, you can learn whatever you want. And that's including multidimensional things too, like everything. And I think that is very beautiful. Maybe we can talk about that, because from what I learned in the last couple of weeks is that the biggest pain point for unschooling families is that they feel quite alone with what they're doing. And still they're unsure about if this is a good idea or not, even after reading 10 books, listening to millions of podcasts. The main thing is, where is this going? Because I really think that a lot of unschooling families, deep somewhere inside of them, have this feeling of it's not only not going to school and not being in this propaganda machine, it's also about expanding our view on life and including so many more levels than what we are doing normally in this, now zeitgeist that we are living in.
Yeah, I think it's difficult if the parents are holding on to old fear-based matrix structures, and then they just get this idea that the children should be free. If they are not, don't have the intention to surrender to the universe themselves, it can be a conflict and confusion there. So, because it changes everything. And it's living without fear. So if they have fear, like you said, is doubt and things like that, then I understand it can be a very difficult situation. So to have enough personal collapses that you survived, and then you just collapse and survive, and until you understand that this is the operating system. It's a collapsing operating system, and you collapse into your remembrance of your true self all the time. Then you don't really have doubts. Or if you have doubts, you just treat them as random fears that you just feel and they melt away. So what you're talking about, this pain point, this is, it's like a fear coming in. And then parents identifying with this. So that's sort of, you just don't identify with it, because we live in 2025. It will be these, like you're talking to a neighbor and you sort of get some fears. And if you identify with them, you have the problem. But if you're stable in your inner navigation system, these random fears are not really a problem. They're just like little disturbances coming and going. And if you have a supportive network, like your podcast, then it shouldn't really be a problem. So it's only a problem if the parents are sort of doubtful about their own path. And if they believe still, a part of them believes that the matrix will be a safer option.
Mostly, I think it won't. Anyway, how can we support kids in their multidimensionality? Because for me, I once told my parents that there was someone in my bedroom waving at me from a corner, and I had a peaceful feeling, but I couldn't really describe who it was. And now when I look back, I thought like there was someone visiting me from wherever, but I knew it was real. I wasn't hallucinating or anything like that. I'm very sure of that, because sometimes when you have fever as a kid, you see shapes or anything like that, but it was quite different. And my parents told me basically that that I have brain dysfunctionality or something like that. So that was the end of that story. And I really think there's not enough support for kids to feel safe and to expand in this direction, maybe even because just a few kids are really supported by their parents. And if you don't have a really good network or community that is supporting this, you might be quite alone with that.
Yeah. It's the nature of this reality is that we have all these different parallel realities that they're intertwining, and we can interact with these beings and it's part of this lifestyle. Like for me, telepathy is just as normal as talking with the voice. It's just super normal. And so it's just different beings coming and going. That's just like a multidimensional life. And I guess there are still people that don't believe this, or they work against it somehow. But it's just how it is. And then for the children to be allowed to explore these areas would be beneficial for everyone. So it's nothing scary. It's really normal. So I think people just need to relax a bit more and just observe what happens instead of fighting what happens. So.
True. You know what I really think now that I'm not on the Canary Islands anymore? On the Canary Islands, everyone is crazy. So I was the normal one. I was really, compared to all the other people I knew, normal. And that made me do this unschooling lifestyles like it was easy for me. Now that I'm the weirdo between all this Matrix people where I live now, makes me like feel like, you know what I mean? Like I'm the weirdo now. That is so crazy. Like just a shift of 6,000 kilometers can make such a difference. And when people tell me you cannot run away from your problems, you actually can. In just relocating to somewhere where you're not the freak, maybe that helps. And I really think there are so many different kind of vibrational spots on this earth. I think a lot of spots are better for vibing with these potentials than others. Because here where I'm now, meditation is fucking hard. The first couple of weeks, it was almost impossible to reach the point of the void or anything like that. And now I'm, I think, at a good point, but on the Canary Islands, it was way easier because I don't know, maybe there is some different energy grid, some different vibe or anything like that. So I'm really now a huge advocate of you can run from your problems and go somewhere where the air is cleaner, like the energy is better, like supporting your goals and whatever. I don't know how you think about that, but I think I just put a stamp underneath that statement. For me, that is true. You can run from your problems if your problem is a non-vibey environment where, people, I think this is where people don't develop certain, what is the word? Abilities, maybe, different ideas, thoughts, inspirations, if it's not coming through, like in when you're like kept in whatever this is, feels like living underneath a shield.
Yeah, I think this is part of the new Earth navigation system, like where you go And again, we're coming back to the crystal body and how the crystal body is moving around. So if you're going somewhere, you notice if you're using your mind, if you're like thinking about like money and practical things, you might end up in a place, matrix place. Because
yes.
If you use your mind, you come to a mind place. So like now I'm preparing for my Thailand trip. So then I let my heart feel in, and actually I experience it as the resort, the resorts or the hotels, they are calling me, and I can feel I feel the frequency of each resort. So navigating the planet with the heart instead of the mind, and then we're just drawn to these high frequency places, like you said, the earth grid. So the earth grid, and then it's these like portals. And so some resorts just happen to be in a really, really high frequency place. Maybe the owners don't even know about it. Maybe they just inherited from their parents, but everyone is sort of happy there. But and then that's also how these heart-to-heart connections with other people come about, because it's like it's not so random that you end up there, because the heart is calling you. It's just like go there, and then other people feel the same signal. So running away from your problems is they always come with you anyway, so
I guess yes, but you can solve them easier or more efficient in a more vibey place. That exactly. is what I learned,
and with because other people
ages. Yes, exactly. And here it takes ages to get something going. I feel like walking through pudding, you know, these dreams where you run and you're so slow. This is this. Yeah, really disgusting. The opposite of lucid dreaming is what is happening here. But it's a good lecture for me, because I was so used to living in a vibey environment where synchronicities were just normal for everybody around you. And here, synchronicities, that is just not something that's part of their lifestyle here. So that's freaky. But I want to talk a little bit more about your book, because I've been working on this as well. For so many hours, I've been reading through it, and I've been really, in the beginning, I remember the first time I've been reading through it, it was like, wow, okay, will I ever understand all these different concepts to the point where I'm able to navigate through the book to make it like easy accessible for others as well? And I do think there were so many different topics, concepts, ideas, inspirations. It was therapy for me to read and work on this. And with every chapter, I gained a lot of knowledge and a lot of security back that I always knew somewhere inside of me that was true. But I somehow got back a lot of missing pieces that I lost on the way or somewhere, I don't know. And I really think it is like a treasure box, therapy treasure box, where you can pull out different, even if you just read one chapter and you ignore the rest, even that has immense value. I've been reading it with my son as well, and he hates reading. I mean, if I read to him, okay, but he's not someone who's reading by himself. But he did, and he was reading the book to me in the end. So I really think it's a beautiful compilation of, how to grasp and how to invite the flow into your life. And I want to know, where did that inspiration come from? What happened that you thought, this is what I'm doing now? And the process of creating this book is interesting as well, I think.
Yeah. I guess you could say I did it to keep myself from going crazy. It's like it's really, really out there. But when I put it in a book, it sort of sounded normal. It made me feel safe, that because when I was reading it, it was like, oh yeah, it actually makes sense.
Yes.
But because what my system was like, couldn't handle those intense multidimensional experiences. So for the listeners, we could just say that it includes the body walking by itself, for example. So you can just imagine being like a human, and then your body starts walking by itself, and it starts walking like into the forests and guiding you to these crystalline hubs. Mm-hmm. And there you get sort of initiated by various extraterrestrial beings. So in the beginning, the mind shift was like, what is happening? Like losing, you know, losing control, basically. And but then it started becoming quite fascinating. And I started sort of waiting for the next time my body starts walking by itself. But also realizing that this is actually what's going to happen to everybody at some point, unless they choose some kind of dystopian low-frequency environment. So this is where we're all going. And I sort of realized my responsibility and my role here, that, yeah, this is really freaky, but actually everyone will go through this. So, like, try to be like... learn and try to understand it, so you can actually help others move through this. So I was sort of this, I need to do this for the humanity, sort of like that. And then just let it go and let it go, let it go really crazy, really crazy.
Oh, nice. Not really. I think it's, yeah, no, really. It's a good book. I'm really proud of, yeah, being one of the first persons to read it, like, you know, like holding a baby, like right after the mom touched it for the first time, like, oh my God,
I was. Yeah, I mean, we created it together. I mean, so.
Oh, no, I was just reading it.
Alex is editing the book. So it's been a great, because it was just a mess all over the place before. So you really helped me to structure it into some kind of coherent story.
And if someone reads it and it's still not well structured, the feedback gets back to me. Mm-hmm. I would like to know how many times each of us has been reading the book. I don't know. Next time I'm working on a book, I'm going to count. Because at the end, I had the... like complete structure in my head, and it was really difficult for me to find the pieces that I wanted to read in the physical version, because in my head it was easier. Well, it's, yeah, of course, this is there and this and this. And in the end, having it like a physical print, I'm really looking forward to that point, because this is next level, I think. I don't like reading on computers. Maybe this is why.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to have some images, something like that. So if it's any like artist or something like that, graphic designer that's listening to this and feel inspired to help out, it would be nice for you to reach out. So it's still still working on it. It's like 10 people around the world reading it now for giving feedback. And slowly, slowly, it's coming together. And it's all about what we are going to go through individually and collectively in the next 20, 30 years.
Where That's our so much bodies, time.
Our bodies will change, and we will not have any control, but our souls will come closer and closer and closer.
Still a long time to go. I hope I will survive that long to see that happening.
Yeah, no, but I mean, for I see opportunities also short term. it's a lot of things happening.
I hope so, because right now my surrounding is like so dystopian. You hear like military planes every day, really low, loud. It's like a reminder of, hey, Matrix is calling. And mm-hmm. our lifestyle at home is like the complete opposite of what is going out on there. It's interesting. Really interesting.
Yeah, but this really brings me back to what I talked about in the beginning, that we are now all these star seeds. So it's millions and millions of people right now in exactly the same situation as you and me and the listeners. And so this time is really for us to come together in different like retreats, discussion groups, and learning how to behave, how to behave without matrix identities, and to just be true and honest. This is where we are now, because we are like the grassroots movement. So we will build the new earth in the future. Right now, we're just learning like, hi, how are you? And should I be happy? Should I be sad? Am I strong now or am I weak now? And to just be like that authentic person with each other, like all the time, because we are just like babies, really, stepping into this higher consciousness, having no clue at all, staying like in control a little bit, but then it just collapses, and staying in control and then it just collapses. So yes, that, hey, it's everything is okay. We are brothers and sisters, and we meet with an open heart. And it's okay to cry. It's okay if your body shakes, because these movements that I'm talking about, they need to shake loose. So we have the body moving by itself. At the moment, if you have a carbon body, it's stuck. It's stuck in stuck behaviors. And then it needs to shake out of that. And then it starts flowing. So to allow, you meet a person or you meet a group, if they shake, if they cry, if they think that they are Jesus Christ, it's just like all good. It's all part of the process, because we are both strong and weak. And we go all the time back and forth like this. And as a humanity, we're just learning how to operate in this higher consciousness, in these higher densities. So I think, yeah, that seems to be my real message. This is like I'm sending out the beacon for my Thailand trip, because I think it will be a lot of this, where I will just meet strangers and start crying straight away.
That's nice. I think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Nice. I think we are through. I have no more questions left.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good place to stop. Maybe I have one question for you.
Ooh.
So if you're running away from your problems and you're giving yourself permission to do this, where are you running next? So you have to go then to a place with high frequency,
yeah,
high frequency people, where the land is fertile. So how's that process going?
That is a long-ass answer. I try to shorten it. So I knew already when I was a child where I need to go, but I always thought it's impossible, or it's just an idea or whatever. And maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, I don't know if this is okay to say, I took a bunch of mushrooms, and the only thing that was shown to me was this exact thing, and like this feeling where I belong to. And I really have not so many interests in life, not so many things that inspire me, but this one thing on one topic. So my main topic in life is really researching the language of God. Who is God? What is God? And differentiate between aliens and God and what they brought to us and what people now refer to as the gods and these kind of things. And where to find this vibrational people that are really close to, you're really just out of the matrix, never touched the matrix and these kind of things. And I really think that my task now is to figure out on a organization level, maybe like that, how to make this happen. Because before I was too stuck on the idea that this is impossible. And now I'm just going to do it, I guess. That's the only thing left. I mean, I have millions of things on my bucket list, but these were all side quests. And this is it. There, I mean, I've been everywhere I wanted to go, like for traveling. I've met everyone I wanted to meet somehow. I feel I've eaten all the crazy foods. I've watched all the movies that there are out there that could be enjoyable. Everything else now is just a repetition of what I've been doing before. So if I don't do it now, I'm going to die of boredom very soon. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what I've been learning again recently is this, that what takes you to a place or what takes you to a project is not the same as what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
It's like we are getting these bridges all the time. Mm-hmm. And so it's like the crystal body is sort of tricking the physical body with some kind of award. And then it's like the crystal body is saying, if you go there, you will get that. Something like that. So the body is like, okay, I will go there, I will get that. And then when you come there, it's like something completely different.
Yeah.
It was just that you had to move to one place to another and then letting go of why you came there. And this is like in small and big things all the time. It can be like just moving from one room to another room. And when you come there, you're like, well, what was it supposed to do here? It doesn't matter. Now you're there, and it's like a new now moment. So it's just like a little bridge, just to give you something, you just move your body, and then... Yeah, I think this is very fascinating. Non-linear lifestyle.
Yes. Just imagine, with a linear lifestyle, I don't know. My family really hates that about me, but they're now getting used to it. And the best part is when my grandma, when the medication is wearing off and she didn't turn on the TV for a couple of hours, she's like really cool. She's like a crazy light worker, but silenced by medication and TV. And if this is wearing off, she's like, yeah, you should go there. Maybe tomorrow. Pack your bags, dude. And this is quite nice to see this old lady supporting that idea. And then as soon as the TV is switching on or the medication is being like, then this is gone. And then this is the impossible plan I'm talking about. But let's see. I really think if I don't try this, I won't die in peace. And if I die trying to do it, then this is more peaceful than not trying it. So that's my conclusion. Yes, because this is what the mushrooms told me. If I don't do it, I'm going to die. I'm going to die anyway, you know, that's the finish line. But I'm going to die because I didn't do it. Because I'm going to be so sad and unfulfilled that this will be a very short life. And I was like, oh, no, I want to have more kids. I want to have grandkids. So I have to do it to see these other things as well. And I think for the sake of my happiness and to just figure out why the fuck should I go there? I don't even know, you know. That is the most hilarious part. What is my purpose?
But you know, many people even forgot completely why they came. So it's like, you at least you know
At least I know that. Let's see. And when I'm there, I think I will remember and see what my to-do list looks like over there. I mean, let's see. Maybe it's just existing.
Could be, yeah.
Could be.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So thank you very much for this little chat here, and hope to see you soon.
Same, really. Nice. Yeah, thank you as well. That was really a nice spontaneous thing and made me really happy.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to support my work, please head over to Fountain or Linktree. I do accept Bitcoin, and it means the world to me if you guys support my work. And leave a comment, reach out to me on Nostr. I'm really happy to hear from you. Thank you so much. And if you want to have more of Wildlife Unschooling, head over to Fountain. There's a Wildlife Unschooling Premium. It starts with $5 a month, and you can pay more if you want, and you can pay in Bitcoin. There you will find all bonus episodes, and you will have early access to all my scheduled episodes. Have fun and see you soon.